This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network, and we do have ourselves a trio of tremendous hours. Greg Oops Peterson is holding it down tonight. We've got ourselves a lot of late baseball tonight, as we had a lot of rain that was happening out there in the Midwest part of the country that caused a few cancellations, and that means that we are going to be getting some double dips on Thursday, as we've got 28 teams in action on Thursday. We are going to have 16 total games. You typically don't get that on a Thursday, so very much looking forward to that, and looking forward to our trio of guests that are going to be joining me tonight, as Tanner Kern, he does a tremendous job over at DraftKings. He's going to be joining me in 30 minutes. I know that he's got some plays with regards to the MLB card that we've got on Thursday. Additionally, we'll see if he's got anything with regards to the NBA Finals, as well as that's a big game that's going to be coming up. Might be do or die there, and if the NBA Finals runs out on Thursday, that means that then we really get into, shall we say, the dog days of summer, where we're taking a look at a lot of MLB, a lot of NFL futures, and we're going to be holding it down with some WNBA as well. So we are going to be looking forward to that and so much more. And then we are going to be talking some college baseball as well, as we did see LSU with just an incredible comeback over Arkansas tonight. We have to talk about that with Johnny Venezzi. He does an absolutely tremendous job over at RotoWire and the Breaking Bet podcast. He's going to be joining me in about an hour and 15 minutes. And we're going to be summarizing what we've all seen there and what we can expect out of Coastal Carolina in that final as well, as he's been doing a great job covering things all season long. And then Wes Reynolds, one of the best here at the network. He's our main golf guy. He is going to be joining me in a little bit over 2 hours. That is going to be a tremendous chat talking about all that we're getting on the links this week. Have to get his thoughts on what we saw a few days ago with the U.S. opening. With the U.S. Open wrapping up as well. So we've got ourselves just an amazing slate here tonight. And we do have to talk about, first things first, before we dive in on the live baseball action. I know that Scott Seidenberg was tracking that. If you had any action tonight in that Arkansas versus LSU game, whew, boy, if you had the under in this game, that is rough. 1-0 going into the sixth inning, and then all of a sudden, just an outburst of runs. LSU, they're able to get the job done. They are able to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. 6-5, the final. Trio of errors what was costly in this game to start with, and you did have one bad error by Arkansas, that bad throwing error that led to what would have been a double play ball that would have ended the game. Just things turning haywire in general for LSU. They do find a way to be able to get the job done, and for LSU, this is just a very, very thrilling finish to them. And how about if we do take a look at what we're going to be getting in terms of that? Because, man, like with LSU, it's been so intriguing with them all season long and with the SEC in general. You know that you're getting top-flight baseball, and Arkansas has been one of the big bad wolves of college baseball all season long. And in this case, man, they had everything all set up. It looked like they were going to be able to polish this one off. Everything was tailor-made for them to be able to go to the final. Instead, LSU advances to the championship series against Coastal Carolina. Certainly going to be talking a little bit more about that in hour number two with Johnny Venezia, but I think that you got yourself just an absolutely final, tremendous final that is going to be going down. And right now, if you're looking at that game one money line, this is going to be on Saturday. So these pitching staffs, they're going to be getting a little bit of rest and relaxation. Right now, LSU in that game number one, minus 175. But as we know, Coastal Carolina going into this game as hot as lava. And teams have been going hot and cold in Major League Baseball. And this one just went final as I was coming on the air. The Colorado Rockies have now won 4 straight road games. There was a point where they were 3-28 on the road this year. They have now won 4 straight road games. The Washington Nationals fall by a count of 3-1. Just absolutely nothing doing for them at the plate. Omar Marquez, if you looked at his fielding independent compared to his ERA, certainly was doing for quite a bit of positivity. But for this Colorado Rockies team, we have seen quite a bit of reversal with them. Now, I think that part of it is the scheduling. Keep in mind that a lot of these road wins that they have been experiencing coming against the Miami Marlins, who are, let's call it what it is, some of the dregs of the National League. And the Washington Nationals, certainly nothing to write home about. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the 12th straight loss that we have seen for the Washington Nationals. So they have just hit a complete, as I like to call it, baseball ditch, where they just go completely downhill, nothing going their way whatsoever. And that one was relatively brutal. So yeah, that was not great, to say the least, for the Washington Nationals, as they had quite a few opportunities to be able to get runs up on the board, weren't able to get the job done, and for the Colorado Rockies. All of a sudden, a little bit on the up and up for them as they're looking to avoid a lot of records in terms of fewest wins, most losses, things of that nature. So they were able to get that one done. Currently looking to be able to get the job done as the Houston Astros as well. Out there in Sacramento where the overs have been just crazy. They're currently up by kind of 2-1 on the Athletics. This is a game that is currently in the top of the fourth inning. And for Houston, Framber Valdez has been rolling as of right now. And for Luis Severino, he's looked a little bit better in this game. I was actually on VSiN Primetime earlier with Scott Seidenberg talking about this game. And for Luis Severino, just absolutely stunning what we've seen out of him thus far this season. A 7.10 ERA at home, a 0.93 ERA on the road. Just you typically see guys be a whole lot better at home rather than on the road. Just a complete and utter reversal there. And currently, as we're doing this, Severino's in a big giant jam. Bases loaded. You've got two outs in the top of the fourth inning with Jose Altuve, who's gone 2-2, 2-for-2 tonight, coming up to the plate. So we're going to be seeing what we're going to be getting on that front as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And certainly we have to summarize some of the games that have already won final here in Major League Baseball. But first things first, I have to alert you that you're able to get in on all the great baseball action this summer because it is going to be the main game in town for the next few months with a VSiN Pro subscription. For a limited time, you're able to grab our football special at the early bird rate of $175. That'll get you in on everything that we do all through the Super Bowl. So it gets you covered for the baseball season. That gets you all of our football previews. That gets you through those, shall we say, great months of the NFL season and into college basketball as well, which that's one of my specialties. You also get a daily best bet email from all of our VSiN shows and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytic tools and betting tools on VSiN.com. You don't want to miss out on this early bird special. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That'll lock you in for the early bird football special of just $175. That is VSiN.com/subscribe as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I mean, we've had quite a few games that have gone final, and we did have a few games that got washed out, by the way. So if you're wondering what happened in Pirates, Tigers, Colorado Rockies, or I should say St. Louis Cardinals and Chicago White Sox and the Brewers versus the Chicago Cubs, well, those games did not happen, so you're getting a pair of twin bills that are going to be going down on Thursday. Pirates, Tigers, Cardinals versus White Sox, and that Brewers game, I believe, is going to be made up in August. So we will be getting some double-dip baseball out there, but we did see just a wild comeback with the Tampa Bay Rays coming back from down 8-0 against the Baltimore Orioles to win by a count of 12-8. Like, if you laid the run line with the Tampa Bay Rays and you were able to get big-time plus money there, massive win for you. And for the Baltimore Orioles, have they been playing a little bit of better baseball this year? Yes, they have, but at what point do we just say that maybe this Orioles team was a little bit overvalued coming into the season? And it is what it is, because I have noticed that the lines that we have been seeing on the Baltimore Orioles just really aren't indicative of how they played this far this season. Like, even on the close here, the Tampa Bay Rays, I personally grabbed them at a minus 122 on the money line. There are a lot of places that have closed in that neighborhood about minus 120 to a minus 130, but I mean, that's pretty tremendous value, considering that the Tampa Bay Rays have been an above 500 team, a bunch that has been able to really do a good job with their bullpen pitching, and it's one of the themes I've been talking about on these shows these last few weeks, and I think that it does need to be hammered home. What you get out of these bullpens is so big, because for the Tampa Bay Rays, disaster start for Taj Bradley. I mean, he played more like Milton Bradley. 7 runs, 6 of which were earned. He gets 4 outs. From there, you need to get, do the math here, 23 outs from the bullpen. They allowed 1 run. Tampa Bay Rays showed their worth tonight with that bullpen. And then for the Baltimore Orioles, did they need to get a whole bunch of outs from their bullpen? Absolutely, as Trevor Rogers, he was not long for this game. 2 3rd innings, he gave up 3 runs. That's less than tremendous, but guess which bullpen faltered more? That'd be the Baltimore Orioles, who they give up a whopping 9 runs, all of which were earned over the course of 5 2/3 innings. Just an absolute disaster class for them. Now for the Tampa Bay Rays, you have to give a little bit of credit where it is due. 9 of 13 with Ben in scoring position, but I think that this Rays team is a little bit for real, and especially with the New York Yankees currently in their free fall, which they lost again on Wednesday. They were able to snap that scoreless streak. They went 30 straight innings without scoring a run. So yay, verily, ding dong, the witch is dead. They finally got runs up on the board, but taking three straight losses to the Los Angeles Angels after getting swept by the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, things are not necessarily looking great there. And over the last two nights, getting shut down by Kyle Hendricks and Jack Konowitz. Those are two guys that were rocking north of 4.90 ERAs going into this series. Recognize that maybe there might have been a little bit of positivity due for Hendricks, but yeah, that's not ideal to say the least for the New York Yankees. And if you're taking a look at the odds to be able to win the American League and the odds to be able to win the division, we haven't seen a lot of change because, and let's call it what it is, baseball is a long season. You've got highs and lows for every one of these teams. Certainly with the New York Yankees, it's currently a low, but I mean, you're still able to grab the Tampa Bay Rays at 6-1. Now, are the Tampa Bay Rays going to be as big of buyers as the New York Yankees at the trade deadline? Most likely not. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays, they sometimes make some shrewd moves, but perhaps this could be a year for them to be able to rise up. You've got a Boston Red Sox team that they themselves have been able to give you a little bit more. They're a few games above 500 at 17-1, but who knows what they're going to be doing moving forward if the trade of Rafael Devers tells us anything. Don't count on the Boston Red Sox to do exactly what you're thinking because they might not be able to, but I do really see a lot of value with the Tampa Bay Rays team. Junior Caminero has been absolutely amazing for them, slugging out 17 home runs entering into tonight, and that's a big thing for the Tampa Bay Rays. You know that the pitching is going to be there. You sometimes don't know if that hitting is going to be there. The hitting, it has been there for them for the last few nights, and we'll see if there's a little bit of hitting to be had on this Wednesday in Major League Baseball. We do have quite a few West Coast games that are going to be going down. We've got the A's versus Astros. We've got ourselves a nice game between the Dodgers and the Padres where I felt like the Padres were undervalued. We'll take a look at that next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we're holding it down with a lot of late baseball. We had a few rain delays across the country that caused some games to get going a little bit later on. So if you're out there on the East Coast wondering why we've got so many games going on here at 11:15 p.m. Eastern time, well, that'll tell you why. But we do have ourselves a lot of fun ones that are going down currently with regards to this game between the San Francisco Giants and the Cleveland Guardians. You do have the Guardians up by a count of 4-2 as they were able to get to Mr. Justin Verlander early and often in this one. And if you're looking at that live money line, it's -343. And such an intriguing San Francisco Giants team, because I do think that there's a lot of upside on them moving forward, being able to pick up Rafael Devers. And this is a rock solid bullpen. So if you've been taking a look at the Giants when they've been able to get down in games, you're sort of banking on an offense that, even with Rafael Devers, does it leave something to be desired? Yes, it does. But they have been able to provide a lot of bang for your buck if you've been looking at them. And right now for the San Francisco Giants, you've got in one of your long guys in Spencer Bivens after you had Verlander go 4 2/3 innings. First start off the injury list, a little bit forgivable there, but still going up against the Cleveland Guardians team, which the bottom of the lineup just has not been that great this year. You have so many guys like Bo Naylor, Lane Thomas, guys like this that have been hitting below the Mendoza 200. They had to send down Brian Rocchio and John Kezzy Noel to the minor league level because guys just flat out were cutting it in general. So you've got a very intriguing team. And for the Giants, it has been a little bit adventurous without Matt Chapman in the fold. Clearly, Casey Schmidt has been a downgrade for them. Actually had a double play ball that he could have turned to be able to cover the run line against the Colorado Rockies about a week ago. Not that I'm salty about that. I did have the Giants on the run line in that game, but yeah, that's been a little bit of an issue for them. And you did see Luis Severino get into a bases loaded jam out in the fourth inning against the Houston Astros, and he was able to bail himself out of it 2-1 right now after 4 innings and 13 hits between Astros and Athletics. Right now, if you're a fan of the Athletics, you should be feeling very good that this is not any worse than what it is, because 7 men stranded on base, including the bases loaded by the Astros in the fourth inning. So that's been interesting to say the least. And for Severino, 85 pitches through 4 innings. And you do want to note this with the Athletics, even if they do get Luis Severino to be able to just keep that 2 up there on the board, currently dead last in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. That is going to be a bit of an issue for them moving forward. So certainly something to gauge. And right now for Framber Valdez, he's been rocking and rolling, giving up one run over the course of four innings. He's allowed a little bit of contact, but with Sacramento, this ballpark in terms of just the way that it helps produce offense, number two in terms of its factor, the number one offensive ballpark out there in the big leagues, the one that elevates offense the most, you probably guess it, Coors Field out there in Colorado. So that's something that I'm going to be gauging moving forward. And if you have been looking at those overs in Sacramento, darn near 60% of these games have been going over the total. So you've been able to get a ton of value there. And then this was one that I was on with our good friend Scott Seidenberg on VSiN Prime Time. I took a shot on the San Diego Padres money line, and I'm going to call it what it is, pretty ridiculous plus money. This got up in some places more around about a plus 180, plus 185. Sometimes you just have to look at the pitching matchup, and I mean, you can look at the other factors like the lineup, the bullpen, what have you, but there are just some guys that aren't worthy of being minus $2 favorites. This was Emmett Sheehan's first start for the LA Dodgers in 2 years. The last time he was on a big league mound was in 2023. Now, I will say this. If you were looking to get a little bit excited about him, he had 21 strikeouts in 11 and a third innings at the minor league level. He had made three minor league rehab starts. And when he was up at the big league level, he was getting 9.5 strikeouts per nine innings. That was his rookie season. But I mean, he was still supplying you with an ERA that was hovering right around about a 4.9. I just really didn't see why the LA Dodgers, for as good as they are, were minus $2 favorites against a San Diego Padres team that this is not a team like the Colorado Rockies. And recognize that the Colorado Rockies are now on a four-game winning streak. Congratulations to them. This is not the Chicago White Sox. This is not your insert bad team here. This is a San Diego Padres team that, while they've had their ups and downs, while they have been somewhat pedestrian offense this year, they've been more around league average in terms of runs per game, this is still a San Diego Padres team that is very capable of getting the job done. Steven Kolek, very respectable pitcher, posting up about a 3.5 ERA, albeit not getting a ton of swings and misses. He's been a guy that has been, for lack of a better term, getting the job done, but he is also backed up by a far better bullpen of the San Diego Padres, being able to have an ERA that ranks in the top five in all of the major leagues. So certainly for the Padres, right now looking relatively solid. They're up by kind of 1-0, and you've got a ball that just, if you're watching this game right now, Fernando Tatis Jr., he had his glove on the ball, and they just allowed Max Muncy to be able to get a triple. We will see if that is going to be scored an error or not. He sort of jumped for the ball, and it looked like it hit his glove, and then he was unable to reel it in. So that's not great, to say the least, for the San Diego Padres. You did have Steven Kolek rocking and rolling before that one, and that's not great. It looks like they're going to be scoring that a hit. So if you had Max Muncy's total bases, anything like that, you're going to get there on a rather ridiculous play, to say the least. And that's something that sometimes you just can't handicap, and that just happens in baseball. What you do want to be able to gauge, though, is the sharp plays. Before the line moves, the sharp plays over at thesharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You are not going to out-muscle billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sports bettors on your own, but with the sharp plays, you don't have to. They've got cutting-edge AI, trusted insider resources, and so much more that delivers the edge to the serious bettors that they rely upon. You'll be able to get free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, and so much more, all delivered to your email or the old Twitter/X. And this is not some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has been around since 2011 with a documented track record with receipts, public logs, and results right there on the start. SharpPlays.com. Trust by pros. Watch by the books. Check them out now at thesharpplays.com as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And just as I was talking about the San Diego Padres being completely undervalued, the game is now tied 1-1. That's sometimes the way that goes in Major League Baseball, but certainly going to be tracking that action as things go along. And if you've been betting on this Reds versus Twins game, man, this has been an adventure. This game gets started probably about 2 hours late. Right now, you're in a rain delay in the bottom of the sixth inning. It is 4-2. The Reds are currently in the lead. They could conceivably call this one because they have played the full five innings that you need to. And These two teams play at a nice hearty 12:40 p.m. Eastern time for first pitch on Thursday as well. It's already 11:22 Eastern time. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Cincinnati is Central time. I come from the great state of Wisconsin, and I've driven through Cincinnati a few times. I had to drive through Cincinnati because I once took a job out in Nashville, Tennessee, and I always had to go through Cincinnati in order to be able to get there. But yep, this is going to be a long night for those guys, and that typically does lend itself a little bit more to some tired bats the next day. Now, it's not an end-all be-all. I think that this is very situational, in my opinion, when you take a look at something like this where you're like, oh, you've got a long rain delay, you've got a little bit of a later night. Does it lead to some more sleepy bats? Yes, but I always find this, and maybe it's just me in terms of what happens here, but when you do have these sorts of situations, whatever you think is going to happen, the opposite typically does. Like, rain delays and just late nights like this make things very, very tricky because the human body, you don't know how you're going to be able to recover. Like, I'm sure that I'm talking to a lot of people out there that you do business, you're traveling in terms of going somewhere, maybe you're working as like a chef and you have to do like a late night dinner and then you're up doing brunch the next day and things like that. Sometimes you just don't know how your body responds. Like, I do some funky shows as well. Like, I was on VSiN Primetime with Scott Seidenberg. I'm doing this show. I'll be the first guest. When it comes to VSiN by the Book, I'll be on Money Moves. Like, sometimes you don't know which show is going to be the one where it's like, man, I've hit a little bit of a wall. You don't know which ones you're going to be able to power through. And sometimes you just feel great throughout. And typically, that is always a hope for myself. Typically, we do get the job done there. But you just never know how things are going to be able to go because it's just one of those things where you have all the handicapping, you have all the statistics they have at your disposal. But humans, and especially baseball players, they're creatures of habit. When you throw them out of their habit, and it's the same for both teams. Like, it's not like the Minnesota Twins are going through something different than the Cincinnati Reds. Now, the Reds, they get to sleep in their own beds. They don't have to go back to a hotel, but still, they are going through the same things as of right now. That leads to funkiness, strangeness, and as I like to call it, the baseball twilight zone, where everything that you think you see and know baseball, you don't know what you're going to be getting. So we will see if they actually get that game restarted, because like I said, that game is currently 4-2. Rain delay in the bottom of the sixth inning. We're currently at 11:25 p.m. Eastern time, 10:25 p.m. Central time. So this is a very strange place to be, to say the least. And for the LA Dodgers, it looks like they are going to be able to take the lead here against the San Diego. Oh, ground rule double. They are going to have men on second and third with a out in the bottom of the fifth inning, as you had Kim be able to get an RBI double or be able to get just a normal double for them. So we're going to be gauging all that. But we do have to start turning it forward to Thursday as well, because while we've got a lot of great action that's going to be happening here to wrap up this Thursday, we've got to wrap up this Wednesday, we've got a lot of great action for Thursday. We've got ourselves 16 total games. We've got some double dips. We've got some fun. And we've got NBA Finals game number 6 that we need to address. We'll do so next with Tanner Kern. He does amazing work over at DraftKings. And he joins me next on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line, as we've got our good friend Tanner Kern aboard. He does such great work over at DraftKings, looking at a little bit of everything. NBA, MLB, when it's in-season hockey, which that's going to be a while before we get hockey, but Tanner does a great job with it all. And Tanner, always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. And Tanner, I know you, much like myself, love these loaded slates of baseball like we're going to be getting on Thursday. But first things first, the biggest game in town might be the last NBA game of the season. We've got ourselves the Indiana Pacers going against the OKC Thunder. Total's interesting. It's been fluctuating a little bit. We've been seeing this go down in a lot of places, more around about a 221, 221 and a half. And right now with the Indiana Pacers, you're able to grab them in a lot of places, more around about a +6, +6.5. What are you seeing right now, and how are you going to be playing this game number 6?
So So I'm going to be on the Pacers plus 6.5 here. They're not going to know about Tyrese Haliburton until tomorrow. Even if he plays, he isn't going to be healthy, so we can't count on that. I do expect him to be on the floor, but you just can't expect a lot out of him in this game. But I'm still leaning towards taking the points with Indiana. OKC's only covered the spread once on the road in the playoffs this season, and it came in game 4 where they entered the fourth quarter down 7 points. They then outscored Indiana 31-17. So we were realistically one fourth quarter away from this series being 3-1 in favor of the Pacers. As good as Haliburton's been in clutch time, the consistency has fluctuated throughout games. He didn't record a field goal in game 5, and this was a 5-point game going into the fourth quarter. So other guys are stepping up for Indiana. The Pacers have really been defined by their strength in numbers. Every guy has been scoring. There hasn't been that one guy scoring a ton of points, but everyone has been contributing on offense. They've done enough from a scoring perspective to win, but they have to be better in the paint and with their turnovers. Those are two areas that they have struggled so far in this championship series. So looking at the Thunder, 32 points off turnovers in game 5. If they improve in this metric, if the Pacers can give them a lot less points off turnovers, I do think they stand a pretty good chance in this one at home. We always see it. The team doesn't like to go down at home. They tend to step up in front of their home crowd. So it's going to take great effort from Pascal Siakam, a lot of the other guys on the floor as well. And then if Tyrese is healthy, he's definitely got to do something in this game. But 6.5 points is a lot being at home, considering the Thunder have been shaky as a covering team on the road.
And might this be a game that we want to take a look at in terms of a live betting perspective as well? Because I've just noticed this all throughout the playoffs with the Indiana Pacers. Just betting the team that is down going into the fourth quarter has proved to be very, very fruitful. And I could see this game being a little bit wild, a little bit crazy. And if the Indiana Pacers are up in the fourth quarter, perhaps they just run out of gas with all the injuries and Tyrese Haliburton not being at 100%.
Yeah, and that's what I expect coming into this one. Whatever team is up going in the fourth quarter is definitely not safe. OKC's come back in the fourth quarter. Same thing with Indiana throughout the playoffs. And when you look at the Pacers, I do expect them to come out hot to start the game. I feel like a first quarter or a halftime spread on Indiana, I can totally get behind that just because of the momentum they're going to have at home, the home crowd, knowing this is a do-or-die game for them. But looking at OKC, they're so strong down the stretch. So if Indiana's up by 4 or 5 points going to the fourth quarter, definitely don't count that as a win if you're on plus 6.5, because OKC can strike at any time. So live betting the team that is down the fourth quarter, especially if you're getting a plus money number, is going to be a good deal for you.
Yep, I do agree with you. And just live betting this entire postseason, Indiana Pacers or not, man, it has been wild to say the least. As we do have Tanner Kern, who does such amazing work over at DraftKings, joining me right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we do take a look at some baseball that we've got for the Thursday, because we've got 16 games in total. A few of these games are off the board, because especially with the doubleheaders, you don't know when you're going to get a pitching change. These teams, they like to mix and match a little bit, but we're going to pick out some of the games that we know we are going to be getting only one game with. And we'll start with this Mets versus Atlanta Braves game. Right now, you've got a total on this one of an 8.5. And right now with the Braves, you're finding them as a low to mid-sized favorite, right in that neighborhood, about a minus 125 or so, with it being Spencer Strider on the bump, a modest plus number here with the New York Mets and Clay Holmes. How do you take a look at this one?
I'm going to be on the under of 8.5 in this game. The New York Mets offense has just been very inconsistent lately. Juan Soto is heating up in the past week, but I trust Spencer Strider to pitch around the big bats in New York's lineup. When you look at Strider, 1-5 on the season, but the Braves really haven't delivered for him offensively when he's on the mound. He has a .220 opponent batting average, .194 in the past 15 days, 37 strikeouts in 31 innings, and a 1.16 whip. So he's been really good. When Strider's on, he's fantastic. Don't let the record fool you. On the flip side, Clay Holmes is going to pitch the Mets 7-3 with a 2.87 ERA, whip right around 1 as well. Has a walk issue at times, and that could hurt him in this game. It could also hurt our under bet, but he's very good at keeping hitters off balance. He's going to pitch to contact, and he's going to find ways to get soft contact throughout games. Braves are 22nd in runs scored this season. While they have plenty of power bats throughout that lineup, I'll take my chances on two really solid pitching staffs, especially if this game can get to the later innings, low scoring. The New York Mets have one of the best bullpens in baseball. I do trust some of the pitchers in the Braves bullpen as well. So I don't see this being a high scoring game, especially if the starters can deliver early.
And the good news is the Atlanta Braves no longer have Craig Kimbrell in the bullpen. They decided after 24 hours of that experiment, no more there. And you mentioned it with the Mets, they have been a top 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA all season long. So I do agree with you there. And this team has been heating up quite a bit as well. recognize that the Toronto Blue Jays had a few losses over the weekend against the Philadelphia Phillies, but this is a bunch that had a rough start to the season that has been a rise up. We've got Kevin Gausman, who's going to be going for the Jays, and it's going to be old Ryan Nelson on the bump for the Diamondbacks. Blue Jays in that neighborhood about minus 135 to minus 140, and I know you're looking at the Jays here, but you're not looking more full game. You're looking at a little bit more of a first five.
I do expect the Blue Jays to win the full game here. Another dominant win for them tonight. As the Red Sox fan, I just want Toronto to start losing games so we can catch them and continue chipping off games in this division.
But
Tampa Bay Rays, yeah, right now, if the playoffs started today, you would get three AL East teams in as wildcard teams right now. So just a strong division. But I do think the Blue Jays are the slightly better team in the spot, especially with the pitching matchup. So I'm going to take them first half minus a half. Ryan Nelson has a 7.5 ERA in 18 innings on the road this season. He's allowed 15 earned runs in 18 innings on the road. Pitched 6.2 innings during the day as well. And I know it's not a massive sample size, but he has a 3.75 opponent batting average during the day. So that's not a positive indication if you're going to be on the Diamondbacks in this game. Kevin Gausman, we know what we're going to get with him. 3.3 ERA at home with 41 strikeouts in 35 and a third innings. He's by no means perfect this season, especially in his last few starts when it comes to the command. But the difference is he's back at home in this game. He's a much better pitcher at home than he is on the road. In the past two games, he has been the visitor. So I like Blue Jays to get out to a hot start here, especially what they did with the bats tonight. I think they can replicate that again, and they do have the starting pitching advantage. So I will lean towards them in the first half without any question.
Yep, I think that that's a very good look by you, Tanner. And I think that this one is going to be a lot of fun as well. So we've got Padres versus the LA Dodgers. With the Dodgers, you're going to get Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the bump. And I will say Ryan Bergeron, who's going to be getting the start for the San Diego Padres. Small sample size, relatively good thus far. But for the LA Dodgers, they are finding themselves as north of minus $2 favorites. And it gets a little bit tough when you get that big of a money line. But I know you're looking at a different way to be able to back the Dodgers here.
I hate to do it. I really do. But, staying away from home teams on the run line is usually my thing. But I'll make the exception with the Dodgers. Los Angeles has their ace on the mound, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He's been exceptional this season. 2.64 ERA, whip right around one. 90 strikeouts in 78.1 innings. But I want to give Ryan Berger his flowers. He's been fantastic, especially since transitioning into that starting role. He's got a 2.93 with a 1.89 opponent batting average in three starts this season. He's now going to face the best offense he's seen in his big league career, and I expect him to rise to the occasion. Don't get me wrong. So if you're thinking about Dodgers in the first five, I'd be a little hesitant here, especially with how good Berger has been so far this season. With that being said, though, San Diego's bullpen, the Dodgers have gotten to them so far this year. I think if the Dodgers can get a few runs early off Berger, they're going to have a good chance to not only win this game, but cover and win by multiple runs here. So they got to start hot. If they do that, I think they're going to have success off the bullpen. And I expect Yamamoto to put together a really solid start. And if he does that, the Dodgers are in a great shape to win by two plus runs here.
Yep, and I'm so glad that you mentioned the Dodgers and the run line here, because I actually have run the numbers over the last few years with regards to the LA Dodgers on the run line, and this dates all the way back to the beginning of the 2022 season. They have had 354 total wins with the game here for this Wednesday pending. All but 64 of those 354 regular season wins have come by multiple runs. So they've been able to do an exceptional job there. And Tanner, you always do an exceptional job breaking down a little bit of everything over there at DraftKings. Little NBA, little MLB, and I always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Always great to be able to get Tanner aboard. He's an ace when it comes to so many different fronts. And if you are taking a look at the game tonight for the Padres and the LA Dodgers, currently 3-1, bottom of the sixth inning. Dodgers do have the lead. So as of right now, they're covering the run line. As we know, with this Dodgers bullpen, sometimes can be just a little bit adventurous. But if you're looking at a live total right now, that's also sunk quite a bit. Right now, you're finding that live total at a 6.5. We'll check in on these games. And I do have to address the fact that we've got ourselves a tremendous game in game number 6 of the NBA Finals. We're going to be taking a look at some player props on that front on the flip side here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Tanner Kern. He does such amazing work over at DraftKings, taking a look at so many different things. We were able to take a look at the NBA Finals with him, a very loaded slate of baseball as well. So a big thanks to Tanner for joining me in the last segment. Now we do have to take a look, first things first, at a little bit of what we're getting live on this baseball card tonight, as we do have quite a few games that are still going on. We're going to be getting ourselves a lot of great action tomorrow, by the way. But that said, still in a rain delay in this Reds versus Twins game. As far as I've seen, they have not called this game yet, but I did find out that Cincinnati is actually Eastern time. I was not sure if it was Eastern or Central, but it is indeed Eastern time, and this is 11:45 p.m. Eastern time. They are currently in the sixth inning. They have to play a game at 12:40 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. They've got enough innings to where this game can be wrapped up, so I am not quite sure what is happening here. Very, very strange scenario, especially with the Reds being, I believe, up to bat at last check, and they were in the lead, so I mean, they could call this game, call it all good, but apparently they are going to be looking to stay the course. So we shall see what happens there, as it has been downpouring really all throughout the Midwest. We had both of the games out in Chicago with the Cubs and the White Sox both getting washed out. You did see a washout as well with the Detroit Tigers. So hopefully you're staying dry if you're out there in the Midwest, but it's a very interesting scenario to say the least. And all of a sudden we've had an explosion out there in Sacramento. Not too much of a shocker here, because if you've been gauging these games in Sacramento, well, we've been getting a lot of runs in for the Astros. They're currently in the top of the sixth inning. They've got a man on first and third with two outs, and they've got five runs up on the board, and they've got 14 hits. Like, the Athletics are actually very fortunate that they have not given up more runs as of right now, because if they strand these two men on base, that would give the Houston Astros 10 men stranded on base. And if you had a home run prop for Jose Altuve on this day, well, he does go yard 12th home run of the campaign. And this is an Astros team that I'm starting to see a little bit of upside with as well. They got off to a little bit of a slow start to the season, but this offense is really starting to hum. Isak Paredes getting traded to the Astros just with his pull power and the way that the Crawford boxes are set up out there in Houston. I mean, that has been a godsend for him. Christian Walker still has not really gotten it going. He's got one hit tonight. You need he and Yunier Diaz, who are both giving you less than a 285 on base, to give you a little bit more, but does feel like the Astros are figuring it out. Again, one of those things I love, bullpen pitching. They have been rock solid there, 5-1, the Houston Astros. We'll see if they're able to tack on a little bit more here against the Athletics, as the Athletics had to go to the bullpen after Luis Severino has been posting up just some incredible home and road splits. Again, a 0.93 ERA on the road. At home, 7.10 ERA. Just absolutely ridiculous there. Gives up two runs over the course of five innings. So he did a relatively nice job of being able to hold down the fourth there. And the San Francisco Giants are looking to hold down the fort out west, because right now they are in danger of perhaps slipping a little bit behind the Dodgers. Dodgers up by a count of 3-1 in the seventh inning against the Slam Diego Padres. And right now with the Giants, they are down 4-2 going into the eighth inning out there with Cleveland. So we're going to keep you guys abreast as to what's all happening there, as we've got ourselves just a lot of summer fun there. But with regards to the NBA, a little bit more of a winter sport. It has lingered on here into the summer months, as we've got ourselves a Game 6, and this might be the last game that we get all season long. So we certainly have to break this down here on Cashing Out on Visa and the Sports Betting Network. And pretty much across the board, it's turned into the Indiana Pacers being a 6.5-point favorite. With the Tyrese Halliburton injury, obviously we've seen a little bit of movement with regards to the side and the total as well. This was a total that had opened up in a lot of places more in that neighborhood, about like a 224.5, 225. We're now down in a lot of places to a 222. And this is a game that, again, I'm going to be taking the same approach I've been taking all throughout the postseason. I think that the team that gets down in this game is going to provide you a lot of bang for your buck in terms of in-game betting. Like, you look no further to what we saw in game number 4. The Thunder were down going into that fourth quarter, and boom, you were able to get a very, very nice number on them. They were able to come back. They were able to persevere, and that's why they are where they are. And heck, this game doesn't happen if it wasn't for the game 1 just Herculean comeback of the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, Halliburton hitting a big shot in that game as well. So you've got a very, very intriguing matchup here between these two. If I had to absolutely play anything right now, I would be playing the Pacers plus 6.5, but it's a bit tough because you have to think that Tyrese Haliburton plays in this game. Like, this is game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, what he gives you if he plays in this game, that's the question mark. Because if you're a ultimate competitor, it's a do-or-die game, you're going to do everything to be out there on the court with your team. Now, if it were to be, like, some sort of bench warmer that is seeing, like, 2 minutes a game, they would probably just hold him out. But when you're the star player of a team that is in a championship series, a championship game, just list off your do-or-die scenario here, you have to think that he's going to do everything humanly possible to be able to get out there on the floor. But the question is he going to be 100%? I certainly think that he's going to be much less than 100%, but what form of percent is he going to be? Is he going to be 80%? Is he going to be 70%? Is he going to be less than 70%? I tend to think probably a little bit less. I just think that he is going to be relatively banged up. Now, modern medicine has helped in terms of being able to alleviate pain for short periods of time, so I'm sure that he is going to be able to get some treatment there, but I'd be looking at a lot of unders with regards to Tyrese Haliburton. Right now, that player prop of his points is at a 14. I think that it's going to be very passive with regards to him, and we have seen as a result of Tyrese Haliburton being injured, a lot of guys seeing a little bit of an upswing. Like, I've been playing the, shall we say, yo-yo effect of Ben Mathurin's point props here in the postseason. Unfortunately, it didn't get there in game number 5. He had, like, 6 or 7 points in the first quarter, and then everything just went into the abyss. So, felt like a little bit of a moron there, and I felt like, yep, we got this one, and then we didn't have that one. But right now, his player prop is up to 12. He's seen one of the biggest upticks of these guys that do come in off the bench. TJ McConnell as well. Now, you're able to get plus 105 on an 11.5 player prop if you go over, but certainly he has seen a big upswing as well. The guy that I think is going to be able to see the most of it, though, Andrew Nembhard. Right now, we are seeing his player prop at 12. That's more around even money. I think that Andrew Nembhard is going to need to step up, and I do think that he's going to need to have a big game. I think that he's going to be the one that sees most of the fruits of, shall we say, Tyrese Haliburton, not necessarily being at 100%, because you even go back to game number 5. He saw the most minutes of any player on that Indiana Pacers team with 36. Now, he's not necessarily the most, shall we say, rambunctious scorer in the world, but he's got the ball in his hands a lot. With the way that he's able to help facilitate the offense, with the way that he is one of the primary ball handlers of this team, he does get the chance to be able to put the ball in the basket quite a bit and had a little bit of an off three-point shooting year this year, but throughout his career, if you even go back to when he was in college, always a relatively rock-solid guy in terms of being able to give you something from the outside. I think that they're going to need that in this game. And for the Indiana Pacers, I think that it's going to be very curious to see what Pascal Siakam does, because he was that top scorer in game number 5. He was able to put up 28 points, and really throughout this postseason, he has been the main man from a scoring standpoint with this Indiana Pacers team. Right now, that player prop is at a 20.5, but you have to pay minus 130. Maybe it's just me, but I think that the OKC Thunder are going to be really honing in on that big two of, Pascal Siakam and whatever you get out of Tyrese Haliburton, because I think that he plays in this game. I just cannot see a scenario where he doesn't play in this game, but I think that they're going to be seeing how wounded he is, and they're going to be playing it from there, and that could lead to a little bit more, shall we say, defensive pressure being sent to Pascal Siakam, a little bit more of an ability to be able to shut him down. I think that for the OKC Thunder, they are going to be able to really thrive on the boards in this game as well, because I do think that for the Pacers, they're going to be a little bit more, shall we say, hamstrung with regards to what they're going to be able to get in terms of their made shots, in terms of their overall offense. And I think that the OKC Thunder are going to be able to utilize that Twin Towers that worked just so well in game number 5, with Isaiah Hartenstein, Chet Holmgren really being able to do a nice job getting home, being able to get the job done. And I think that the Thunder, who I felt like after that big giant game 1 collapse where the Indiana Pacers, they just went into inferno mode. Sometimes that just happens in the NBA. Sometimes that just happens when you play against the Indiana Pacers. I felt like they got a little bit too far away from who they truly were. I felt like they made a few interesting adjustments, especially when you saw that play out in game number 3, and recognize that they won that game in game number 4, but even in game number 4, it felt like they got a little bit too far away from their identity. Felt like they got back to happy in game number 5 with the fact that they did throw out their Hartenstein along Chet Holmgren as sort of a 1-2 punch. And even though Hartenstein didn't necessarily have a big contribution in game number 5, it was only out there for 21 minutes. I do feel like they were able to get that just nice combination, nice flow in general. I think that this could be a big game for Hartenstein. Right now, we're seeing that rebound prop at a 6.5. I would be taking a shot on the over end for the Indiana Pacers. If you're looking for a guy to be able to step up, I think that it would probably have to be one of the two main, shall we say, more wing players in Miles Turner along with Obi Toppin. If you think these guys go player over their player prop, you probably like the Pacers. If you think these guys go under, I think that lends a little bit of value to the OKC Thunder. What really lends a lot of value is a full Thursday in Major League Baseball. We'll break that down next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.